Welcome to Legal, Legal, and the Coach, a show set to present local and national trailblazers in business and celebrity circles like authors and speakers who will share their stories, struggles, adventures in life, and keys to their success brought to you by Tough Talk Radio Network. Here are your hosts, David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser.
Well, hello everyone out there. This is David Altenburn bringing you another edition of Legal, Eagle, and the Coach with my co-host, or as we sometimes affectionately say, partner in crime, Brian Kaiser. And I'd like to start today's show by giving a big shout-out to my co-host. He puts on for a select group of entrepreneurs here in Houston, Texas, what he calls the 10X Tank Mastermind. And last night was an amazing gathering of another 10X Mastermind group. And, you know, Mr. Kaiser always talks about trying to be the world's greatest connector, but he really emphasized some business coaching advice last night that resonated deep with me and I'd like to share with our audience today. He says that his process is to assist the entrepreneur initially in what he calls self-discovery. This is the hard internal analysis of your people, your processes, your systems, your ways of doing business, trying to analyze what works, what doesn't seem to work, and really focuses in on those type of things. And then he talks about expectations, and that is so important. Others talk about goals. You know, you got to have strategies and you got to have techniques and you got to have people and processes for your operating procedures to hit your goals. But my co-host talks about it as in terms of expectations so that you can measure your progress along certain standards. And he talked about rapid growth business coaching, viral visibility, video production, and results-driven business automation, the back end that helps drive successful businesses. So it was another amazing gathering, and I think it was great advice to everyone that was out there. And one of the things he talks about, and he talked about it in terms of business coaching, but I think it applies to all professionals. What are you doing to educate your potential customers, your prospects out there, as to the selection process for whatever field you're in? In other words, in a business coaching arena, you know, does your business coach have a business coach, one or more? How many years has your business coach been in business? Does your business coach have processes that are proven methods for success and analysis on the self-discovery? And essentially, how do you set yourself apart? Whether it's a niche in the marketplace or your story, how do you set yourself apart to attract those to do business with you that they know, like, and trust you to the point that they will work with you? And so that's how I'd like to start today's show off, with some of these questions, in which we look at ourselves and our business and our services. We've got an exciting show. What are your thoughts this morning, Mr. Coach?
Well, my thoughts first is thank you for the plug. I appreciate that. And it was a fun event last night. And a big shout out to you, because we get to use your boardroom for that event. And I know it's a little bit of extra work for you to get that organized for us, but we do appreciate it. And it was a great, end up being a great turnout despite the weather. So we had a good time. And I think you brought up some good points in reiterating some of the questions from last night. And that was a big question that I asked, because we had a number of coaches in the room, is, how are you educating your clients to select a coach? How are you educating and nurturing them to understand what it means to hire a coach? I mean, if you're going to pay money for someone's expertise, are you, do you understand that that's the person you're going to be listening to? That's the person that's going to be the head coach. That's the person that's going to be the end-all, be-all. You're selecting them because they are an expert in what you need and what is your best next step. And I asked the question because, one, flip-flop yourself into your client's shoes. Most of them come into looking for assistance, looking for guidance, looking for leadership, mentorship, coaching, consulting, and they come in at a disposition because they don't know exactly what they need. They have an idea of what they want, and sometimes it takes the seasoned professional to ask the right questions and bring those out and get them to go through that self-discovery process to find out, you know, who are they? Who do they serve most? Where are they in their business, and where do they want to go? What is the end result? Is that the same as what you started the year off with, or has it changed? Has it morphed into more? Has it morphed into less? Is it totally changed and it's something different now? And when you're going to hire a coach, you know, I threw it out to coaches. Okay, what are you doing in your process of attraction that's actually educating the public to where they're hiring us coaches? And they know which one will help them.
We talked about the fact that, you know, when you're on the outside looking in, it's often easier to see what change is needed or what change can best serve the business to propel forward in a great way. And that some other great points were brought up is that whether it's coaching or in our legal field, we'll call it, you know, consulting with experts. And then as business people, you know, we do the same, is basically that sometimes it's a collaboration between more than one expert or coach that is what is the best fit to going forward. And so I'm excited about our show because, you know, our first guest, Kalen Diggs, coming out of Austin, Texas, is a got a website of reachingthefinishline.com, and he's got a book out there where he talks about having a satisfying or a great career, kind of like irrespective of your credentials. I'm very interested in that. But it sounds like, you know, and he talks about, you know, teaching people basically 75% of what the IRS does not want you to know. And so I think it'll be an educational piece for our entrepreneurs out there that's important. Good food for thought, as we have had with guests to date on our show. And then we've got a second guest, Michael Farkas, who has CarCharge.com and an entrepreneur out there that will hopefully share some keys to success or, I don't know so much secrets of success, but just keys to success. Because the more folks that we get on our show here to help the entrepreneurs out there, it amazes me how much we learn from all of our guests, but also that there is a certain commonality of threads, if you will, as to the proven methods, the proven strategies, the things that entrepreneurs struggle with in their trials and tribulations, but what they need to do to achieve the success and the life of their dreams. And that gets back to what you talked about last night, Mr. Kaiser, is on the expectations. You know, one person's expectation or life of dreams can be far different than another's in their personal life and the relationships they want and what they want with respect to their business. But all of our guests have been very helpful, I think, out there for our audience, and I think today will be no different. So any final thoughts before we go to commercial break?
Lauren Gano is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Legal Eagle and the Coach. I'm the coach, Brian Kaiser, here overlooking the Galleria area of Houston, Texas, from the lofty perch of the Soaring Legal Eagle, and happy to be here in his office doing the show today. So without further ado, Callan, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. I cannot complain. The weather is a little dreary, but you know, we're having a good time, and I'm excited to hear about your book and all the things that you have going on there in the world of personal development. So tell the audience, as we get started with the interview, a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Great. So since the Great Recession, I've helped over 2,000 people reach the finish line in their careers, people without college degrees, people without high school diplomas, single moms, disabled people, people of various different situations. And I've worked with them personally so they can be able to reach their finish line and find their ideal career, whether that is remaining to be an employee or transitioning to be an entrepreneur.
Nice. Very nice. Then you have a book out. Correct?
Yes. Yeah, so the book is reaching the finish line. So far, it's been very successful. It's been number one on Kobo. It's been number four on Amazon. And, I have it in both e-book as well as print paperback. And the book is very comprehensive, as stated before. It kind of goes several chapters. Like one chapter talks about how to land a great career without a college degree. Another chapter talks about how to graduate with a bachelor's degree in 1 year. Like there's basically a chapter for anybody, but the book is comprehensive to the point in where it's an invaluable resource to anyone who reads it.
Nice.
Let me ask this. You know, we started our show talking about in the business coaching world, it often starts with self-discovery or self-analysis. How do you go about, as you have a potential prospective customer, as to your initial assessment of where they're at and where you want to get them to go? Because I guess it would vary different if you're talking to an oil executive who's kind of burned out in the oil business versus an entrepreneur. So our show is about entrepreneurs, but can you just kind of give us an idea of how you go about your initial analysis?
Yes. So if a person wants to be an entrepreneur, they have to realize, and it's something that I talk about a lot, that there is always going to be something called uncertainty. And the problem is, as an entrepreneur, they kind of have this illusion in where they look at people like Mark Zuckerberg, look at all these other very successful entrepreneurs, but the problem is they don't understand that they had hard times too. They had to go through trials and tribulations to be successful. So one thing I emphasize and one thing I teach them and trying to get them to get used to is to be able to increase their ability to live with uncertainty. And a lot of people always search for certainty in the world. And the only thing really is certain in life is death. But as an entrepreneur, with that uncertainty in your life, it provides you opportunities to become more open. And it also is a great opportunity to be able to develop your entrepreneurial skills as well as develop your business skills. So that's the main thing I start off with, because a lot of times, you know, coaches will say, well, you know we have to have this game plan. You know, well, if a person's mental fitness is out of whack, mm-hmm. well, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter what kind of game plan is going to be executed, because their mental fitness is not in order yet.
You're absolutely correct there. It's a different world. It's a different world than getting a steady paycheck to be that entrepreneur that can make five times that month than you ever made in a steady paycheck, but you could go 2 months where you're making less or hardly anything as you uh-huh. get ready for the next big payday. So uh-huh. great advice about the uncertainty. You've got to get them emotionally ready for the journey. Very good advice.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm reading here on your website, you have a really great quote. And I think for people, and you're talking about getting them in the right mindset and making them understand what the journey of being an entrepreneur is going to look like, make a statement that's pretty bold. It's a pretty bold statement that success is only available to those who refuse to live without it.
Absolutely.
Can you elaborate on
yeah,
that and how you boil down to that? Because that's a very bold statement, but it's very true.
It's a willpower yes. statement.
Yes. So what it comes down to, guys, is there is going to be two types of people. There is one type of person who's going to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to try this entrepreneurial venture, and they try it, they fail, and they give up. And then you're going to have this other person who is relentless, who is ambitious. Yes, you know, they may fail one here, two there, but they keep trying because they really want success. They have a burning desire to be able to achieve success. A lot of people are not cut out to be entrepreneurs, and that's simply what it is. Because again, you know, people may have this idea, oh yeah, I want to do that. Oh, if I did this, I'll make so much money. And they go ahead and work at it, and they come across a few obstacles, and they give up. And then you see them a few months later, they're back at their job, and they're totally kind of deflated.
Well, that's a great, great point. Even the most successful business entrepreneurs in the world, if you study it deeply, you find out they had multiple huge failures to get to the point they eventually got. And so that idea of perseverance and the idea that not only emotionally you can handle uncertainty, but the idea that you can handle failures along the way. And they have to be viewed as, if you're going to be a true entrepreneur, almost as like blips on the screen. Yes, you've got to learn from them. Yes, you've got to change and adjust to them. But you can't let them overwhelm you. And I think that's a great point, great point. What other good advice do you have out there for those that are thinking about setting out about their business? Or as you say, once you have the emotional or the mental state of mind, let's say, right, what is the next level as far as planning goes, developing the plan, the business plan?
Okay, great. So once the person is comfortable with living with uncertainty, the next plan is they need a team. The problem with entrepreneurs is, you know, someone want to bootstrap and they have these novel ideas, but they tend to go at it alone. And usually when you go at it alone, you're more likely to fail because you don't have that support. So one thing I advise entrepreneurs to do is to kind of have a team. So you want to have this type of person that I'm going to mention is probably going to be more receptive to work with you than other people. So I encourage people to work with retired executives, because usually retired executives, even though they're retired, they still want to stay in the game. They still want to be up to the trends and see what's going on. So they're going to be more likely to work with a new entrepreneur as to opposed to someone who's currently in the field, because they're probably going to be, you know, they have a business, they're going to be busy, and it's typically not going to be a good chance that that a person may say yes to a new entrepreneur. So I would advise retired executives. They have decades of experience, and they're probably going to be one of the best bets to work with new entrepreneurs.
Well, that's a great point too. I love the teamwork approach, and the, you know, an entrepreneur's got to know how to delegate and have a team. Great points. Mr. Kaiser, what's your next question for our guest?
Well, in doing the show prep, then I read through, you know, Callan's information on his site, and I do challenge everyone to go over there to reachingthefinishline.com. check out the information he has there. He has a blog, and he has some different.
Lauren Jano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Tony?
Yes, hello.
Tony, was that the end of the interview?
No, this is David Altenburn. Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry, David. Yeah, well, I didn't really hear
you. Everybody got lost,
I
guess, on our conference call system for our internet radio show here. So let's pick up where we were as far as letting our audience know. So you've got this plan. I love the idea about the team. And you know, you got to be able to delegate. Where do things go from there? What's your advice when it comes to either personnel or systems and processes or, you know, operating procedures, kind of the major benchmarks of business that, you know, is important for the entrepreneur to focus upon to achieve their success?
Okay. So in regards to systems, you know, since you're going to be starting off, there's only going to be one of you. You may have a team, you may have an advisory board of people that you can work with, but you're typically going to be the manpower of the machine until you can start scaling. So one thing you want to have is system set up. You want to have a list of productivity tools that's going to make it much easier for you to work with. So you can have something like, for some people that use Google Drive, you can have another tool like Evernote, and those are some of many of the things that you can use to be more productive and try to kind of reduce your time a bit and give you more leverage to work on other things. Now, you want to try to outsource some of these tasks as quickly as possible, because you want to focus on growing your business. You want to work on your business and not so much in your business. So a lot of the mundane
Stop there for just a second, because I think it's just an important point to emphasize with our audience here, which is, as part of becoming all that you can be and leveraging yourself in addition to having your team, is the idea that if you can outsource, as you call it, certain tasks, you know, let's just take deliveries. Can you do deliveries with your employees? Of course. But you can also use outside delivery services that are very fast, very efficient, and very cost-effective way to, you know, basically make deliveries. Or copy services. Can you have employees do all of your copies in-house? Of course. But you can also have major, for myself as a lawyer, exhibits done by outsourcing that work to experts. And so, anyways, great point. Please continue.
Yes. So you want to try to take your time off the mundane things. Things like social media, you can definitely outsource that. Things like even emails, you can definitely outsource that. Now, there are some entrepreneurs that want to kind of have full control over the emails. They want to answer all the emails personally, which is nothing wrong with that. You know, there's some merit in that. And if an entrepreneur wants to do that personally, they can. But that is a task that can also be outsourced. Customer service, that's another thing that can be outsourced. So really, as an entrepreneur, you really want to be the visionary of your business. Projects that you're working on in your business should be an opportunity to promote growth and allow your business to be able to scale. So that's what I would advise first, guys. I would say first, the entrepreneur needs to focus on productivity tools. They need to focus on creating systems so they can reduce your time and be able to use that leverage.
Well, great, Mr.
Kaiser. Yes, can everybody hear me? I keep getting some beeps in the
We can
the
now. I
there.
Think we lost you there for a while, Mr. Coach, but you have soared back into the picture. So
I have flown back to the nest, yes. So, Callan, you know, what is the top of the funnel for you? How do people get into your world where you can start helping them? Is it to purchase the book? Is it to find you online? How do you initially engage with a client?
Yes. So usually it's my email list. They can go to reachthefinishline.com where they get my free report. And that's how I start building a relationship with them. Typically as entrepreneur, as much as we want sales, what's more important is to be able to build relationships. So that's the first thing I'm able to do once I, for every new email subscriber that I'm able to share a relationship with. And from there, I send very informative, very evergreen types of content that's exclusive to my subscribers. And the book is also an option, next way they can take if they want to move forward. I would say it's kind of more of the second level, and where, again, the book is very comprehensive, and whether it is an employee who wants to remain employed, perhaps find a job that's more ideal and aligns with their passions, that's a suitable fit. Or if it's an employee who makes a transition to be an entrepreneur, well, the book is also a suitable fit. So that's kind of second level. And then the third level, I'm happy to give one-on-one time if a person needs personalized attention, and definitely happy to work on the one-on-one in their business or finding their ideal career.
Nice. And so from start to finish, you have something that kind of fits everybody's comfort zone. Some people like it when they're kind of handheld by, you know, the personal touch, and other people prefer, you know, to kind of read the book and do it themselves. Do you find more success one way versus the other?
So personally, you mean like on my journey?
Yeah, on your journey, because I know that you, from reading, you have a great mission statement that I started talking about earlier, and I think I cut out. But you have a great mission statement to keep the U.S. Unemployment rate under 5%. You're doing your part in that by helping, you know, you've helped thousands of people. So on your personal journey, which have you found to be more the better path for you, and which do you guide people toward, or do you just kind of let them choose the do-it-yourself or the personal, more customized approach when they're actually working with you?
Yeah, I'll let them choose, because people have to find what's right for them, and ultimately, it's really up to the person, guys. And some people, I'll give you an example. Some people, they'll buy the book, and they may buy a 1-hour coaching time. But then when I reach out back to them later, within a month or so, I say, hey, how you doing with it? Oh, I never got to it. So it goes back to sometimes. You know, we always talk about taking action, and when people say, "Well, I bought your book. I bought an hour of your consultation. Well, I did take action." Well, what's the action after that? So a lot of people, they don't take action, and that's the main problem. So people are welcome to choose whether if the book is suitable or if personalized time is more suitable, or even both. But from all of that, if they're not going to take action with the value that I provided, with the information, then they're basically just wasting their time.
Well, the thing that I like too, and I think deserves a little comment here, is that we often talk on our show that it's not all about the money, and that, you know, there's an aspect of satisfaction in business as well as life, and finding the balance and finding your true happiness points. And it sounds to me like that's what your whole approach seems to be, because on your website, you talk about kind of basically, essentially, satisfaction with your life and your business, no matter kind of your state of life, whether you're in a career with kind of a corporate environment or the entrepreneurial right. Have I read it right that you really do spend a fair share of time when you do get one-on-one time with your clients of finding their satisfaction points and what really drives them?
Yeah. Because some people they don't want to be an entrepreneur. They like something where it's sort of like a routine thing. They can go to work, they can do something that they love, that again that aligns with their passions. Because the more our career aligns with their passions, the more they're going to be happy with their at working for their employer. And then you have entrepreneurs who want to, you know, they want to be their own boss. They don't want to work for someone. They don't want to get stuck in mundane routines. They want to always be trying something refreshing and new and exciting. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to satisfaction. And that satisfaction could be through a person finding their ideal career as an employee, or that could be a person, creating their ideal business as an entrepreneur.
So we started our show with self-discovery. Sounds like you spent a lot of time on that aspect of letting people really understand themselves and what the best path is for them, given your years of experience looking at it from a lot of angles. So we thank you so much for your help to our audience today. We really do.
Absolutely. Appreciate you being on, Kellen. And I want everyone to go over to the website, reachingthefinishline.com, and take a look at the information that Kellen provides there, the blog, the media stuff, and get the book. Go and get yourself a copy of the book and see if this is a good fit for you. There's going to be a lot of great information inside of it. Just from talking to you, I can tell that. So really appreciate you being on the show, and look forward to connecting with you offline.
Great. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back after these messages.
Entrepreneurs, it's time to get real. Stop working so hard and learn to do the things that matter. If your business is not successful and you know your stuff and are getting results for your clients, it's not your fault. The good news is you can change it and your bottom line. All it takes is having the right strategy and being able to follow a consistent plan for your business success. Learn how at Michelle Sism's 3-day event in Houston in September. Go to takeactiongetprofits.com to learn more.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Legal Eagle and the Coach. The Coach, Brian Kaiser, myself, and the Legal Eagle are happy to have you here and really excited about our next guest, Michael Farkas, that's bringing something that is going to become more of a commonplace to our communities and our society here with electric vehicle charging. So, Michael, how are you doing today?
Thank God. Yourself?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm here at the lofty perch of the Legal Eagle in his office doing the show today, overlooking the kind of dreary Galleria area. But we're having a great time, and we just got finished with one interview, and we're looking forward to this one because this is something that isn't really, in some areas it's very commonplace, but it's getting to be more and more commonplace, and I'm very interested to hear about you, who you are, and how you got into this type of business.
Okay, well, my name is Michael Farkas. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Car Charging Group. We started the business in 2009, so in this industry, it's basically being a dinosaur. And what we are trying to do is trying to provide the infrastructure that will allow the changeover from utilizing fossil fuels to power our transportation system into using other energy sources such as solar, wind, any type of renewable. But really, when you're powering electric cars, what's happening is you're really becoming agnostic as to fuel source, because electricity is the byproduct of many different types of processes. You could use coal, wood, nuclear, solar, wind, and convert all of those sources into electricity to power the automobile. So we don't become dependent on any one specific fuel source. We have multi-access.
Well,
gotcha.
Mr. Farkas, this is David Altenburn, the attorney on our show. And what's fascinating is I was in a business group about 2 years ago, and you just had to be there, but there were these two executives from two different motor vehicle companies, and they got into a digression of discussion about the future. And they were saying, you know, T. Boone Pickens is trying to get natural gas to, you know, fuel vehicles. And then we got into the discussion about electric cars. And everybody agreed that, you know, obviously it's great for, you know, various aspects, the environment, other things. But the issue that they said was the stumbling block to mass production on a commercial basis was the charging station issue, that there's the fear of the public out there that you're going to have an electric car and end up kind of in the middle of nowhere. And instead of running out of gas, you run out of juice on your electric car, and where do you get it charged? So I think it's amazing that you've picked this niche, because what gave you the idea just to pick this niche and go forward? Is there something in your background in the, you know, car business, or what gave you the idea to make this your niche?
My background is really finance, Wall Street, and investing. But what happened was you know, the markets and in the investment community was really at a standstill for a few years, 2008. 2009,
sure.
Literally as I was sitting on the sidelines because there was not much going on.
The Great Recession,
avid,
as we call it, right?
Exactly. I'm an avid car junkie. And
okay.
I was reading about car magazines. It was 2008, 2009, and I was reading different car magazines about the proposed electrification of the automobile program. And it was a $25 billion program with matching funds to go out there and electrify the automobile.
Okay.
And I read through the proposals. I went onto the websites of the DOE, DOT, you know, looked at everything that was going on with those proposals, and I realized that there was something missing. There was all this money being spent on batteries, cars, EVs, the buildings to produce these cars in, ancillary technologies, but there was no money being allocated for the fueling of those cars. And I grew up in New York. Spent a lot of time in Miami, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco.
Maybe that accent is a New York accent, right?
Possibly. It could be. you know, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and I realized that most people in these major urban areas don't have a dedicated parking space or a carport. And most of us either park on the street or park in, you know, community parking lots or parking lots that are managed by major parking garage companies. And when you look at those numbers, and then you take into consideration how many people, even in suburbia, that may have a garage, but it's packed up with garbage and it's not really utilizable. And I realize most people don't have access to just pulling into their garage and plugging in their car. And I figured if the governments worldwide and all the automotive companies are spending tens of billions of dollars to electrify the automobile, there's got to be infrastructure available to make that happen. And that's how we entered the marketplace.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, because that's what these guys were talking about. Will they eventually in the future be at every stop and go, for example, that sort of thing? So,
well, we're in a lot of places. We've partnered with some of the greatest property owner partners that are out there in the United States. We deal with Simon Properties and Walgreens, Walmart, Sears. There's going to be charging stations all over. You can't walk in Manhattan now, you know, every couple blocks in these parking garages. You may not see them because they're subterranean parking facilities, but a lot of these have charging stations in them now. It's very easy in major urban areas to find infrastructure, and if you can't find infrastructure in those areas, you could call us at our offices, 305-521-0200. Let us know that you want infrastructure in certain areas because you have an EV, and we will assist in making that happen. That's what
very
we do.
Nice.
We own and operate EV charging infrastructure throughout the United States, and we have three very basic models. One is we provide a turnkey solution to a property owner partner. We pay for the hardware, we pay for the installation, we pay for it all. We share a very small revenue stream with the property owner. It's really there for an amenity for their tenants or people who come to their properties. We also have, and many times we have property owners who
residential
realize that there's a huge value.
Or commercial or both? Residential, commercial, or both?
We have a product or service available for every single type of property. If you own a single-family home, you could go to www.blinkhq.com or on Amazon and buy our charging station that sits in your garage or, you know, on the side of your house that you plug in and it's your own charging station. Then we have charging stations that are along the public routes that are sitting in multifamily residential facilities. They're sitting in Walgreens and sitting in apartment buildings, shopping malls, where you have a network charging station where you pay for the usage, that you, the energy that you consume.
Well, Michael,
so
with that, I have a question. I have a question from Facebook from John, listening to us in San Antonio. He wants to know, you know, what kind of cars are going to be coming out that do this, and then how long does it take to charge the car typically? Like, if you have one of these and you have the station, what is a typical refuel, quote-unquote, time?
Okay, that's a very good question. On the first part of the question is, today there are very few automobiles that are out there. You have your Chevy Volt, you have your Nissan Leaf, you have your Teslas, you have some Ford products, you have a Kia that's plug-in. But most of the cars are what's called compliance cars. They're only sold in certain states. There are very, very few cars that are sold across the nation. What we're seeing now is a lot more product coming out. Recently introduced the BMW i3, BMW i8, and you're going to see a whole slew of cars from every single manufacturer, from Audi, BMW, Buick, Hyundai, Kia, Ford, Chevy. Every single one are coming out with different EV products, and there are different types of EV products. There are plug-in hybrids, which give you a shorter range on electricity, but have a engine or a battery battery backup generator that gives you additional range, so that you can also use gasoline as well. In addition, you have full electric vehicles. Those do not have any generator, like a Tesla, like a Nissan Leaf, and those, you know, have longer ranges. The Tesla's already 250-mile range. The Nissan Leaf is about 100 and better right now. But we're seeing the ranges extend as well. In regards to charging times, it's very difficult to give you a specific answer. And the reason why is different cars have different battery sizes. And the charging speed and time is dependent upon the battery size. So when you have a Tesla with a large battery, there's three ways of charging that Tesla. There's a supercharger that you go on along highway routes, and you can see different Tesla versions, where in less than an hour you could fill up your car and drive almost 300 miles. You have Nissan Leafs that you could drive to a fast charger, and less than 20 minutes, 80% of your battery is filled up. So it really is specific to the car, and there's different charging technologies as well.
Well, I have a couple questions here. First, to give our audience just the idea of your business and its growth, you say you started around 2009. Here we are 5-6 years later here. How many charging stations do you have across the country now, and what kind of growth pattern do you see for your company going into the future, since it sounds like this is rapid growth industry right now with all the car makers getting into the game, so to speak? And then the second question I have has to do with, you know, again, on the fear of the consumers out there, you know, cell phones, as by way of example, there's different chargers for the iPhone compared to, you know, the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 versus a different phone. Is there a universality, if you will, a universal size on the charging instruments from the car to the stations, or does it vary?
The charging station connector that we use, and that's out in throughout the United States, is a standard connector across the board. Every single car, whether it's a Tesla, a Nissan, a Chevy, it's called a J1772 connector. and they all work with it. So there's a universal standard. So every car, pretty much no matter what it is, could pull up to one of our charging stations and use our charging stations. There is some additional information that you need. Tesla, in order to work with the standard, has a little coupler that comes with every single car. So the Tesla charging stations that are out there only work for Teslas, but the charging stations that we have at Car Charging Group, they work on every single car out there.
Great. Very nice to know.
What about the number of stations for your company currently, roughly, or any kind of idea on that?
We have roughly about 13,500 charging stations, maybe a little bit north of that, both including network and non-network charging stations throughout the U.S.
Very nice.
Great.
Very nice. Well, Jim and Tom,
and we're growing.
Yeah, of course. Is all this the technology moving? Jim on Tomball wants to kind of get pick your brain a little bit and ask, you know, with these new cars coming out, what do you kind of give us a paint a picture of what the future will look like with? Is this going to be something that we'll see in our normal gas stations? Is this something that there'll be you know, separate stations that will just have electric versus having gas and all that stuff? Or is this something that will kind of, the industry will come together and they'll have both types of things as they, you know, as it develops and as more cars come out that are using electricity versus just all gas?
Okay. I'm bottom line, in my opinion, before we blink, everybody's going to be driving EVs. The customer satisfaction rate on electric vehicles is similar to another consumer electronics product that we're all very familiar with. If you ask EV purchasers what's the likelihood of them buying an EV again, and what their, you know, customer satisfaction rate is at JD Powers and all these
for electric
reports.
Vehicle? EV stands
correct.
For electric vehicle? Okay, so
correct.
Sorry to interrupt there, but
they,
okay, so for those owners,
not
their
a problem.
Satisfaction is
in the mid-90%.
Wow.
The
wow.
last consumer electronics product that had that kind of numbers, we're talking about flat-screen televisions. So I could ask all of your listeners out there, and I could almost guarantee you there's a statistically perfect fact. I will bet you that whoever bought a flat-screen TV, they never, ever went back and bought a tube television afterwards. And it's just a matter of time. Okay, it's a fact. These are numbers.
We won't take you up on the bet because you're going to win.
Okay. That being said, this is the same type of advancement that we're seeing, what we've seen from tube televisions to flat screen TVs. Remember, what we're seeing here is the digitization of the automobile. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are hearing about the autonomous car and Apple getting into the automobile space and Google playing in the automobile space and Samsung now getting into the space. Producing electric vehicles is closer to producing a computer with wheels than it is of producing a car of today.
Yes,
all
that's
of these
an
autonomous
amazing
cars.
Point.
It's an amazing point because the cost to produce these cars are coming down. The cost for the batteries are coming down drastically. And the efficiencies of the batteries are increasing even more so. So we're in the perfect
just like all the
right
other
now.
All the other technology advancements. You know, the computer.
Exactly.
Look at the computer. Computer
remember
is
your
got
cell
so
phone.
Much more storage.
Correct. Remember your cell phone when it was analog, and all you had the ability to do on that cell phone was make a phone call or get and receive texts. Then our phones went digital. Now we could do the most incredible, crazy things with them and the most awesome, amazing things because they went digital. What we're seeing here is the digitization of the automobile. And the technology is so much better than yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, there's an amazing film out there. It was out at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood celebrating the book with a Brian Tracy book, being an author in the book. And our keynote speaker was Peter Diamandis from The X Factor, and he was talking about the future. And he had a film of Tesla produced on exactly what you're talking about. And it's an amazing film where executives are in the car. They essentially put it on an obstacle course, And due to electric grids, basically, and the digitalization of this vehicle, it drove itself and did not crash. And you're so point on. And so it seems like you are at the infancy of a huge growth industry. Let me ask you about signage. You said the connectors are universal. What about signage? You know, we have, you know, certain signs on the roadway are of certain colors, you know, warning signs or traffic signs. When it comes to the charging stations, is there a universality among signage or not? For people that have the cars and they're running low on their juice in their car and they want to charge their car.
There's the most amazing things with, you know, the charging infrastructure of today is all of the charging stations that are out there for public use are network connected. So you have a mobile application on your cell phone or on the dashboard of your car, and it lets you know where all the different charging stations are. Our mobile app, which you could download, is called Blink. It's on iOS. It's also on Android. It's the Blink mobile app. It will show you where all of our charging stations are. We also have another mobile application that we're integrating both of them. It's called a car charging app. It's also on both iOS and on Android, and it will show you multiple hardware vendors' charging stations. Will show you where they are. It'll give you directions to getting there, and even allow you to turn some of them on and off when you have an account.
Excellent.
So the technology is there to really simplify the process.
Thank you so much.
Well, our producer's given us the warning. We've got to wrap up. Carcharging.com is your website. Can you go over the apps one more time? And is there any other way people can get in touch with you? Because I know this is a big shift in the industry where it's a good time to get in if you're not in. So
carcharging.com. Carcharging.com, blinknetwork.com, and both of those will direct you on where to get the mobile applications.
Gotcha. Okay, well, we enjoy having you on. This has been exciting to really learn on something that's coming. You know, it's been coming for a while, and now it's really in our face. So very very glad to have you on the show and look forward to
connecting with you
off there.
Yeah. You're a great example of a great entrepreneur. I wish you nothing but great success in the future, and thank you so much for coming on our show.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
We'll be back after these messages.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Well, Mr. Coach, we're coming to wrapping up another great show. You know, we started with Kalen Diggs, who's got a book out there, Reaching the Finish Line, and he's a business coach, a personal development coach, and you know, he fit right into our theme that we started our show with, that, you know, we've got to, as entrepreneurs, slow down now and then for self-discovery. And the outside looking in can often see better than we can see ourselves and where we can make our changes, our improvements to becoming all that we can be as entrepreneurs. And he had great advice about how you got to start with a mindset. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, there's going to be a lot of uncertainty. There's going to be some failures along the way, but you got to have that perseverance to pay off and be successful down the line. And then our second guest, Michael Farkas with Car Charge. It's amazing, and he is a great example of the ingenuity and the freedom in America that gives the entrepreneurs a chance to be so successful. Here's a financial wizard, a Wall Street person who, in the Great Recession that took a big hit on Wall Street, looked at a different industry. He looked at the electric vehicle industry, the EV industry, as they call it, and said, you know, there's billions of dollars being spent on all kinds of aspects, but not in the car charging aspect of it. So now has something like 13,000 car charging stations across the country and is rapidly growing in that field. And so I just think we had a very interesting show and hopefully had a lot of education out there for our audience. What are your thoughts, Mr. Coach?
Yeah, it was a phenomenal show. You know, like you said, Callan Davis came on and he has a book out, Reaching the Finish Line. And we again urge everyone to go check out his website, reachingthefinishline.com. But, you know, his attitude about why he started, why he got into doing what he does is because he wanted to, help with the unemployment rate, help people find satisfaction and happiness and joy in life by doing something that they love and, finding that fulfillment because, let's face it, we spend more time at work than we spend doing about anything else. So if you don't love what you do, then you're probably going to be bouncing around a lot because you're going to be quitting many times to start something new because you just haven't found that thing. So I really liked his purpose for doing that. And then, of course, what a great story with Michael Farkas. He, was on Wall Street. The market went down. He's like, well, what do I do? And, oh, hey, this emerging industry is coming up. And he kind of, looked in the crystal ball, so to speak, and there it is. There's what he's doing. He's providing the fueling stations for an industry that's already pumped billions of dollars into development. But one of the things that was lacking was, how do you fuel them? And for an entrepreneur, that's exactly what we do. We find something that's not working well, and we find a solution that makes it work well. And I love what he's doing. I think it's phenomenal, and it's a growing – it's still – he said he's a dinosaur in the business, but, it's only been since 2009. That's a major emerging market in the country and in the world. So I think he's on to something really big, and it was really fun to have him on the show.
And the overarching lesson to me seems to be that all great stories start with a great idea and then great analysis. And then you got to come up with an action plan, and then you got to work your plan, and then you got to get the word out, just like those guests
exactly
that come
Callan
on our
said,
radio
right?
show. Yes, and just like the guests that come on our radio show, they get the word out then. And, we're talking about everybody's journey. Don't forget, if you want an opportunity to be a chapter in our book, Legal Eagle and the Coach, A Journey to Success, you can contact us through Legal Eagle and the Coach radio.com or through the Tough Talk with Tony Gambone network site, and we'd love to talk to you about that opportunity. So another adventure, another set of guests that I think broaden the horizons for our audience. Really enjoyed our show today. Mr. Coach?
It was fantastic. So like I said, for the audience, go check out the websites from our two guests, reachingthefinishline.com with Callan Diggs over there and carcharging.com with Michael Farkas. You can get a lot of good information, a lot of good insights. And maybe you're an entrepreneur and you're needing something new, there you go. You got two guys that have some insight to opportunity for you. So it's been a great show. Looking forward to next week, David.
Absolutely. Everybody go out there, live your dreams one day at a time, one person you touch at a time. Take care.
Take care. We'll see
you
all next time.
You have been listening to Legal Eagle and the Coach with David Altenburn and Brian Kaiser on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Thank you.